live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, what's that time of the week? Wednesday, we not only play the camel when the show starts, we also go to the Grand Council at 4 o'clock. It's when I get together with two of my brethren in talk radio from different parts of the state. We yammer about the issues. We ping each other with questions. We don't know what the questions are in advance, but we see how the answers come out and don't even always agree, but we sometimes still love each other when it's over with. So that being said, all right, these guys are calling in, by the way. They're on conference call or trying to be on conference call today, and so we're going to swap back and forth, so they won't be able to yell at each other directly today. But let me start with calling the roll from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, the host of the Jeff Poor Show and the executive editor of 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
And I'm glad. All right, brother, thank you. Then I'll go ahead and switch over here while Boomer hits the button and brings him on. Dale Jackson from WVNN, that's 770 AM, 92.5 FM up in Huntsville, and also writing for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you here?
Oh, and I got a special assist from Yaffe who's driving me right now.
So oh. Yeah, Yaffe, here too. No wonder we dropped your signal a minute ago. All right, no worries. All right, hey fellas, listen. We're gonna wind up having to go back and forth. So I'll call your name. Boomer's gonna have to pipe you in individually because the conference call was full of static. So that being said, I'm going to Jeff Poor first. Jeff Poor, what is your question? Oh wait, hang on. I'm sorry, Boomer, hit the button.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Yes. I totally forgot. I'm glad you're here. I don't even know what day this is, apparently. All right. Jeff Poor, what's your question, man?
First off, Dale Jackson has had people driving places everywhere. I never, ever understood that. But that's why he can't drive his own sorry ass. Well, however, let's pick it up here.
Yaffe's driving Miss Daisy today. That's what we know.
Well, even before Yaffe worked there, he was driving people around. He had people drive him around always that way. It's weird. But anyway... I digress. I guess the obvious question is this. The Trump indictment, the way everybody's making it seem is that this is a positive. Would Trump have been better off with an indictment or without the indictment?
You know, I'll go ahead and answer first while he gets Dale piped back in for his own answer. But I look at it and think, you know, it's not real clear, but I suspect that he would have been better off without the indictment because then he could say, I scared him off. It was so sad that I got the guy cowed down, and he didn't. He came out with this flimsy, cheesy indictment that doesn't really even stand up as a true indictment. I mean, it doesn't even name the crimes. But that being said, my perception is Trump would have been better being able to say, they tried to get me and I scared them away. That's my thoughts. Dale, what are your thoughts?
I tend to agree. I think it might be good for him in the short term. But eventually, you know, he's going to have to deal with this. In the end, he'll beat it, and he'll say, look, I beat him again. But it's just, once again, it's now was on his record, two impeachments, a Russia investigation, and an indictment on 34 counts. I mean, that's just going to get added to his resume, and in suburbs and moderates and all this other stuff, it's going to hurt him. But amongst his base, amongst the squishy Republicans, it's a net win for him. So a primary Donald Trump is leading. Much better shape having had this happen.
Well, so 34 counts, which are really 34 pieces of one count. But, All right. Well, let me flip back over to Jeff then real quick. So, Jeff, your own question. What are your thoughts on it?
I just think it's weird because everybody's acting like this is like a good thing for Trump. If you ask Trump personally, like, well, if you had your way, if you could have just had this indictment thing never happen, would you have had it never happen? Or are you just like, hey, bring on more indictments? Because my numbers go up every time you do it. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer here, but it just seems weird. Because if it were me, I would be like, I'll take a pass on the indictment. Just I'm good without it.
Point taken. I don't know, man. I think it'll play out. Trump is a survivor. That is certainly sure. But nobody should have to survive this much crap. All right, flip it back over to Dale. Let's see what you got. Dale Jackson, what is your question for us while Yaffe drives you down the road?
I want to do a little role-playing exercise here for a second. Let's say you are the CEO of Build-A-Bear, and you have an executive come in and say, sir, I have a fantastic idea. We should build drag queen bears for the kids. What do you say to that individual in your office, and why is it you're fired before you throw him out a window?
Yeah, I saw that story. So they're making a RuPaul Build-A-Bear, apparently. And I'm like, what? God almighty. Yeah, so that guy comes in, I'm assuming it's a guy, or at least he identifies as a guy, let's pretend. He comes in my office and says, we want to do a RuPaul Build-A-Bear. My first question is, I need you to go down the hall, CHR, and piss in a cup so I can tell whether you're high on something. That's my first thought. And then the next thing is, and oh, by the way, your services are no longer needed, and I'm pretty sure we don't need to work about a severance package. I just look at it and go, wow, you're not only doing stuff for kids, now you're grooming kids with toys intentionally. Anyways, flip it over to Jeff. Let me get his thoughts. Jeff Poore, what do you think about Build-A-Bear doing RuPaul dolls?
Show me how it makes me money. I might consider it. If you could show me that this is going to improve and better our shareholders' position, that you're going to make money off of it, that there's actually a demand. I feel like I am not convinced there's a demand for any of this crap. But I if there is, then I kind of have a fiduciary duty to my shareholders, I feel like, to at least consider it. But like I said, I'm very, very skeptical of the demand.
So you just jumped over into the bah humbug category of if it makes me money, forget what Tiny Tim needs. I'm just going to go ahead and do the thing that makes me money.
It's not like we're forcing people to buy this stuff. It's just there. And if some stupid parent wants to buy their kid this is what I disagree with. I think the whole phenomenon is stupid and disgusting. Don't get me wrong. But there are dumb parents out there. It ought to be the parents' choice to make that decision. And if they want to buy little Tommy or Susie a drag queen Build-A-Bear, then I'll let them have it. It's none of my business.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Well, all right. Let me back over to Dale. I mean, so, Dale, your own question, Build-A-Bear, piss in a cup or give him a raise? What are you going to do?
Well, I throw him out the window. Yaffe and I just went to a gas station. Every gas station we stop at, he's like, hey, do you have any of those Dylan Mulvaney Bud Light? Do you have any of those Bud Light with that drag queen on them? I want to buy some of those.
Or you could do like Kid Rock did yesterday, take him out back by the lake and have at it with your automatic weapon. That's what he did on the video yesterday.
That's the right decision.
All right, here's my question for you guys. You ready? Tennessee State Capitol got invaded the other day. I called it Insurrection 2.0 on my show. Democrat legislators are now being openly penalized because they broke House rules. The entire House proceedings were stopped by the protesters, and now three Democrats have been taken off their committees as punishment for having joined the protesters and disrupting the events of the day. So that being said, is this an insurrection? By God, it sure feels like one. Dale Jackson, what do you think?
This hasn't been reported all that much, but I was talking with somebody who works up there, and they said that those guys brought megaphones onto the floor and were rallying the crowd from the floor. They don't report any of that. That's why they're in trouble. Throw them out. Expel them for the session. Is it an insurrection? Sure, why not? Everything is.
Flip it over to Jeff. Insurrection 2.0. Jeff, what do you think?
What are they insurrecting against? I mean, are they overthrowing the Tennessee government? What's going to happen? How does that even work? So I'm not there yet with the insurrection claim. I just think it's hooliganism and it's a double standard, and that's fine if we could call it out. But, I mean, just because the other guys called it insurrection, we don't mean we have to.
Okay, so you'll build a RuPaul doll, but you won't call this insurrection.
I will not build a RuPaul doll. I would be like, look, if you can make money off of it, you build it. I am just going to say, look, people are willing. How much is a Build-A-Bear anyway?
I have no idea. Luckily, my kids never got into them. But that being said, so my own question, I'll just tell you right before the break. I look at this, Insurrection 2.0, not really. But then again, Insurrection 1.0 wasn't really an insurrection either, in my opinion. So I look at this and think, was it unseemly? Probably. Did it need to happen? No. Are there better ways to handle these things? Certainly. Insurrection 2.0 is a euphemistic title given now to something just because if they're going to label things insurrection, then it should be on both sides of the protest. But anyway, all right. Boomer, take us to the break right now while we've got Dale stopping for gas with Yaffe buying him beer while they ride down the road. That's what I heard. And Jeff's building RuPaul dolls. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Going right back to the phones with the Grand Council. That's Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and executive editor of 1819 News, and Dale Jackson from WVNN up yonder in Huntsville and writing for Yellowhammer News as well. So first question out the gate, round two. Jeff Poor, what you got?
Dale and I have been yelling at each other about economic incentives the last few days, so why not bring it to your show, Senator? sorry about the State House, by the way, and Senator Elliott's office, who always lets me use it to do these radio spots. But it sounds like they're not going to do anything with this till next week because they're just not there yet. So I had assumed that this is going to sell through, but the week delay gives me a little bit of a pause to think it's going to be as easy as everything else has been for the governor this year. What do y'all think?
I think they'll get it passed. The reality is the economic incentives package that we passed back when I was in, part of that's just being renewed. And, you know, some call it corporate welfare, but it's not if you look at incentives that have clawbacks and mandatory milestones and other things built in that are contractually obligated to the state or you have to pay it back. So some of that is good, but they porked it a little bit. They're raising the cap quite a bit, and they're also putting things in for green energy and stuff like that. So I'm sure what's happening is people are saying, you know what, we just got a lot of flack for passing that ARPA money, and like in record time. I called it scoot through a goose, and then – maybe we need to pause and read this and deliberate a little bit. So I hope they do. I hope they do slow roll this, take their time, and not let the governor bum rush them just because she finally held a press conference about something. Switch over to Dale. Dale, what you got, man? What do you think?
Well, I generally agree with you. I think that this is going to go through. Maybe they'll change it up a little bit, but I think overall the economic incentives have generally worked. They're not perfect, but Jeff will hate to hear this. Everyone else is doing it, so we have to do it. So I think that's where we are, and I don't see any change in that anytime soon.
All right, flip it back to Jeff. What you got, Jeff Rowe?
Yeah, well, I'm just kind of, I guess, glad that it's not going to sell through like ARPA did, because if it does, and it's still a possibility, I mean, what's the point of having the Alabama legislature? It's just a formality. So what I think this is a good test, guys, of seeing if they get it through, but there's at least some amendments and some debate and at least some changes that curve this thing back the other way, away from what the governor wants, then that would be a welcome sign. But if it just sells through again and she gets whatever she wants, we got problems.
Well, she was in – she had the press conference, but she had the Senate pro tem and the Speaker of the House and the Lieutenant Governor all standing there with her, calling it the best thing since sliced bread. So I suspect she's got leadership support at the very least, obviously, but I'm suspecting that some of the rank and file is asking for a little bit more time to review some things. But there's also, who knows what else is being bandied about, and they're holding back their votes until they know they've got something else they want just to move forward on. Switching over to Dale, man. Dale, round two, what's your question, buddy?
I think House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels was there as well. So that shows the Democrats on board.
That's true.
My question is about a bill by another Democrat, Barbara Drummond, out of Mobile, that says, hey, if your stupid little snot-nosed kid rolls into school with a handgun in his bag and pulls it out, you obviously didn't secure it, so we're going to hit you with a felony charge. I love this, and I think it's a great idea. They can prove your gun was unsecured. You're not a responsible gun owner. Lock them up. What do you guys think about that?
I'll take it first and say no. I mean, first of all, you have to prove it was the parent's gun. That can be overcome pretty quickly. But then secondly, you got, I mean, how many times have kids, you know, snuck liquor out of the parent's, you know, the liquor cabinet? Or for that matter, I mean, I worked with juvenile delinquents for a number of years. Kids do stuff. Can you be held accountable for everything your kids
do? 6 years old.
Say again?
One of these kids in Alabama was 6 years old.
I don't know that it's entirely the parents. A felony charge? I think that's a little stiff. I mean, do you have DHR get involved and look at reckless endangerment? Maybe. But I don't know that you can say you're going to hold them accountable for anything their child does when there's not a parent standing right next to them. I mean, if you find out later on, here, take this with you and show your friends, you'll be cool. That's a little different. But, I can't see the kid who stole it out of the parent's safe and took it to school to flash it around to his kid, to his friends, being the one that holds the parents into a felony charge. Switch it over to Jeff. Jeff, what's your thought, man?
Surprise, Dale's for more government. I would say this. Felony charge is ridiculous. I do you realize what a felony charge does to your life?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty serious. And I don't. Look, like you said, there ought to be some kind of repercussions, and you know, the DHR ought to be doing their job, but they're not. Probably a lot of this stuff what happened in the first place. But a felony charge, let's slow down here before we've got the Soviet Union.
All right, so with about 30 seconds here, Dale, why do you love this so much?
Because it wouldn't come out of their safe, obviously, because then it would have been locked up. Well, it's because irresponsible gun owners make it harder for responsible gun owners. Knock it down to a misdemeanor if you feel better about it. But these parents of these young kids, they're not being responsible. That's just the way it is.
So if Grant knows the dial, the combo dial on your safe, and he goes in it and gets it so he can flash it around to his friends on the playground, and you didn't even know what happened, you didn't know you even knew the number, you're going to be held accountable for that? You feel good about that?
Well, they're not putting me in jail for that. They're putting me in jail for beating his ass. that's what ends up happening.
Okay. All right. And by the way, with no time left for my last question, I will go ahead and confess that Charlene just texted me and said that my daughter had a Build-A-Bear when she was little. But that's back when it was safe. All right. Dale Jackson, WVNN, in the car with Yaffe driving Miss Daisy down the road. And Jeff Ropor, we appreciate both of you. Thank you much. Grand Council, once again, Wednesday afternoons are always more fun. All right. We're heading to a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm going to read some texts, and then we'll see whether I can get into this last segment that I've got about the toothless Russian bear. I don't know, man. The text messages are so full, I'm not sure which one I'm going with, Boomer. We'll see when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned.